It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Things to do here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock from Phoenix, Arizona, from the beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com, where all the goodies are. You know, that's it. You have to go there. You want to know everything that's going on. You know, you cannot count on me to be telling you all the nuances of all the stuff, of all the things that we track. That's just not going to happen. I tell you what's going to happen, though. On the show, we'll give you the kind of the base philosophy from which we look at the news. I'll give you that. You know, a lot of people don't understand, though. They go, well, you have, let's go take a look at the site. You know, they'll say things like, well, how is that a libertarian freedom-oriented article about, you know, blah, 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 blah. Plastic bags and dish soap banned in Oregon. Okay, you know, why do I care? Well, it might have something to do with that government thing. Then we put a bunch of stuff up, you know, science and technology, because you got to see where we're going in the future. Got to see. But we had one story up, the ICLEI, whatever the heck that stands for, is the implementation of this Agenda 21 thing, this United Nations deal. And it's, you know, it's already UN treaty in 600 American cities. They're just, you know, we're going to talk about cities today. And that's one of the things we do. I tell you what we're going to do today. In the second hour, we're going to talk about the Connecticut shooting. We're at a beer distributorship. A gentleman goes in, and you know, and because I'm whatever, and he shoots eight people and shoots himself. I don't know anything about it. I mean, I see this stuff over and over the years. It's the same. Second, you know, guns did it. No, there weren't enough guns to stop it. You know, I mean, so that's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to have a gentleman on, Noel Flasterstein, that is going to speak to that very issue. Now, we've done shows on this before. It's always, you know, they always scream and call for another man with a gun to come stop the guy with a gun. You know, but he's not there. You know, you call 911 and die. You say, hey, you know, can you send some guys out here with guns to take care of this guy with a gun? Because I don't have my gun. See my point? You know, here that it was a few years ago, it was the year of 06. I think it was a gubernatorial race in 06. There was in Tucson a gentleman he was an older guy. He's in his 30s, I think, and he was mad about something. He didn't get a good enough grade or whatever. He goes down there and he kills his professor. And, you know, he's laying waste and shooting and spraying up. And it was right before. God, man, it might have been the 02 race. They so run together, I can't keep track of them anymore. But so it was, I think it might have been 02. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was 02. Because it was Matt Salmon, which was a congressman that resigned to run for governor. He's a Republican running against Janet Napolitano. And so as they're running for governor, he was to have an event at the near the University of Arizona down Tucson for NRA. It was going to be the gunnies. Yeah, I'm pro second, man. Let's go kick butt. Well, right like days before that, there was this shooting at University of Arizona. Well, of course, the anti-gunners just, man, here they go. Well, what happened? He cancels the event. Well, the gunnies and certainly the libertarian guys are like, you see? If you can't expect them, you know, if they don't come out and protect your rights to defend yourself against guys with guns shooting at you, you know, when it happens, what the heck do you think is going to happen when they get the, you know, the state house? So he lost that. By a smidgen, he lost that race, and it was because of that one single thing. And he goes, oh, you libertarians caused it because you guys took advantage of the, I'm like, what? And I mean, you know, yeah, the difference with the libertarian, but it was because of, you know, freedom issues, most certainly guns here in Arizona. Yeah. And now you don't need a permit for carrying concealed because this argument has been so hammered by us. Because what happened, there was a gentleman that, I think it was that shooting too. There's so many of them, it's hard to keep track of them. And I think it was that one. There was a gentleman went out to his car. He was a faculty member, and you're not supposed to have a gun within, you know, so many feet of the school, right? Well, he goes, yeah, I went out to my car that was parked 1,001 yards away, or feet, or whatever it is, and I went in, and I got my gun that was legally far enough away from the institution so I don't get fired, and got it, and he's the one that stopped him. They don't tell you that in the report. You didn't hear about that in the news, did you? You didn't say, oh, yeah, and he was subdued by... No, he was subdued by a teacher that went and got his gun. They never tell you this. You know, when you got the Columbine shootings and everything, we started... You know, a little time goes by. Ben Soprenowitz is editor of the Las Vegas Review-Journal, largest paper in Nevada, and he's doing some research. He's finding out all these guys were on these psychotropic drugs. You know, all of them are on some kind of, you know, blah, 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 fill in the blank, ADHD, kind of Ritalin, cocaine, doing amphetamine, whatever the heck it is. You know, when you go off of that, you're supposed to be on suicide watch for 3 days. Anybody, you know, I, a lot of young people here have been on, you know, a lot of times they think something's wrong with them. They're just not, you know, getting with the program. You know, parents are tired of dealing, you know, they put them on the stuff. They just found out they just want to be left alone. They all wind up being libertarian or anarchist. There was nothing wrong with me. It was the rest of the world that was screwed up. Then that's what they're trying to convince you. Got your purple pill? So that's what, you know, in the second hour, we're going to talk about that a little bit. And I mean, how much detail do I want to, you know, the big thing is, he calls 911, he's black, and he says, it's a racial thing. They're not whatever. Yeah, I don't care. All the more, you know, just another reason, you know, why people should be armed, have one in their desk, you know, got in their purse, having, you know, eight people, you just walk around, eight people. You know, and if I was the second, you know, wherever myself and my friends, you know, I don't carry my firearms enough because they're too big. I mean, you know, even a 9mm is kind of big, you know, 45, you got revolvers, you got all this other stuff. I mean, you know, around my home, around the bed, and you know, like when my wife goes out doing real estate or something like that, you know, none shall pass. But, you know, when I'm just walking around, it's heavy. It's just a clunky piece of metal. Well, I've been shopping, you know, especially since this, you don't need a permit thing, like I ever cared anyway. But, you know, I just go, you know, this 6 hour, I don't even know what they call it. It's a little 380, but I mean, it's really nice. Feels good. Oh, I want that one. But they're expensive, like $500. I don't want that bad. But, you know, I'm thinking, man, how much would it be worth, you know, how many days you go without, you know, breakfast so you can afford to get it when you really, really, really wish you had it on you. And a lot of the young men around here in Arizona, guns are common. A lot of people just have them strapped on. It's just, you know, part of the culture here. And it's just, you know, most people don't think nothing of it. In fact, there's a lot of signs on some businesses that say, you know, no firearms allowed. And the reason they have that on there is because everybody's got them. You know, there's always somebody in there with them. And then, of course, you know, they just take the risk and either don't show them or don't, what you don't see, you don't care about kind of thing. And the bad guys don't give a crap what sign you got. I mean, you understand? But that's a property rights deal. So that's why we do our Second Amendment is for everyone, you know, our safe group. We call it a safe map, merchant awareness program. And we put it up and we say, you know what, shop here, don't shop there. Because, you know, you're safe. Are you a safe patron? So I'm looking to get some of these small firearms. I see a lot of these guys in. You're like, oh, at 380, you're not going to. You know what? That little 380 automatic is going to be a lot better than that 3-0 I didn't have because it was too big. That's my point. You know, some guy, I got this little 32. I got this little 22. I got this little, you know what? It's better than nothing. It's better than nothing I'm not carrying around because these things are too big. So what happens when somebody comes, you know, laying waste, comes into Freedom's Phoenix Workshop? They're coming in here. Woo-hoo, we're going to get you. You know, I don't think they'd make it past the first couple of guys. You know what I mean? So this is, an armed society is a, you know, less dead society of good guys as far as I'm concerned. Bad guys don't care. Bad guys do not follow rules and regulations. You know when they say guns not allowed in park or rest stops or something like that? We've challenged all this over the years. They did, it was a rest stop that's between Phoenix and Tucson. And it was, and we've been, you know, following this closely about in the parks. So I got all kinds of stories on this. All right, I'll tell some. All right, we have, there was a gentleman, his name is Steve Porak. He is a contractor. He builds churches here in the valley. Now, that's all he does, man. His big thing is churches. He builds these big churches. He's got contract building, you know, new addition, new church, new wing, new churches. And he always has on his 1911, his 45. Now, he got his cowboy hat on. He's in his 60s, maybe even 70s, and he's just, you know, he's got his gun. He goes to the park with his grandkids. Officer sees him and says, you can't have that. You got to go put it in your car. As soon as the officer leaves, some of the young guys start coming out playing basketball, and he sees them wearing guns. I'm disarmed. The hood starts coming in. The cop leaves. I'm disarmed. What up with that? Oh, and then we did something about it. Oh, we're all creative here. It just started all kinds of stuff. We'll talk about it when we come back. You stay right there.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
I come to fetch you to a meeting. What kind of meeting? The secret kind.
Your meetings are a waste of time, Campbell.
Your father was a fighter and a patriot.
I know who my father was. I came back home to raise crops and, God willing, a family. If I can live in peace, I will.
God. You say you want to stay out of the troubles?
Aye.
If you can prove it, you may court my daughter. Until you prove it, my answer's no.
No.
No, Wallace. No.
Didn't I just prove it?
No.
No.
No!
Well, you got to prove it. You just want to stay out of the troubles. But, you know, what happens when you can't? That was a scene from Braveheart. And he just, I just wanted to stay out of the trouble. We're going to fetch you to a meeting. What kind? A secret kind, you know, a militia meeting. And, I don't want to play. Right up until, you have to. Let me tell you when they have to. When guys are walking down between the cubicles and starting offing people. You know, it's kind of hard to get out of a cubicle. You can hide underneath your whatever. So we've paid attention to this because it was as my friend L. Neil Smith puts it, he goes, the gun issue is a Vulcan mind meld with the state. Because you can tell how they see you. Are they there defending your individual rights or certainly your ability to be able to defend your own? They don't even got to spend a dime. Don't got to mess with you or nothing. Allow you to, shoot back. Are you allowed? You know, so, and this is, Connecticut. So, you know, there's, gun control. And you have a lot of states where you have this kind of problem. I don't know. There's not a lot of that goes on in Arizona. Yeah, you know, Madman kills Denny's one and three people gun him down. I mean, you know, it's just a matter of fact, when they had, there was one of the most popular cartoons that was done by a gentleman named Scott Beezer. He's a graphic artist that does a lot of novel covers and so on and graphic novels and artwork. Matter of fact, the Freedom's Phoenix logo, you know, he created that. And he did a depiction of the 9/11 box cutter wielding Arab terrorist take plane thing. And it has three of them standing there holding these box cutters, and it has all the plane passengers with guns trained on them. Anybody need a box opened? So, and that became a infamous t-shirt there during that time. It's just a perspective. It's how we see it. Well, my friend Steve Porak, he went to a local park here with his grandchildren, and he's playing with them. An officer told him that he couldn't have his gun on it, put it in the car. Was that what the law said? No, but that doesn't matter. So he puts it up, and then the sun's starting to go down. Sun goes down, and he has a lot of young men he perceived to be, you know, gang members coming in playing basketball, and he sees as they're jumping up and they're on the side, and they got like revolvers in their pockets or waistband. And he's like, you know, where's the cop now? So he comes by, you know what then was our headquarters workshop that we had back in the day. And this is 94. And he goes and he tells me the story. And he was a big supporter of the Republican party at the time. And he just couldn't get anything out. He's just, you know how it is. Any of you that have actually tried to work through elected officials in the process and the shiny badges of the party and all that, you already know what happens. They don't care. They just want to know how much money you can get, how many votes you can get them. And issues don't mean nothing. So they always wind up coming over to libertarians. Well, he explains this to me, and I go, well, yeah, they're like, that sucks. You should talk to the city council and or make a big deal out of it, because I'm telling you, that's not even what the law says. And he goes, yeah, he pointed to the sign and says, you know, there's an ordinance against firearms in the park. I go, that's not what it says. What the ordinance said, regardless of what they put on the sign, what the ordinance said was no discharge of firearms in the city parks. No discharge. Now, of course, if you're fending for your life, I mean, you probably get away with that one. But they didn't want you going out because Phoenix has some big parks. I mean, even the city of Phoenix, one of the largest municipal parks in the world is South Mountain Park. A guy died and he gave the entire mountain to Phoenix. So, I mean, that's why South Mountain is just this big mountain preserve. So they're like, no shooting, discharge of firearms. They didn't say you couldn't have it. Well, of course, that's what the Parks and Rec put up on the sign. So we're like, okay, you want to make a big deal out of this? Let's rock and roll. So you talk to city councilmen and so on, saying, hey, this is wrong and this shouldn't say and so on. But the bureaucracies is what runs the planet. You know, the guys, the little directors, you know, the people appointed by. So we're going, all right, let's play. So we have, at the time, we had a office called SAFE, Second Amendment for Everyone. And it was like a separate little office right next to where we had our headquarters. I mean, it was the same. It had a back door opened into the room, but had a different frontage and the glass doors up there. It had its own door and everything, so we could keep it separate. So we can say, hey, it's got its own address, so we could have some more fun separate from the party. Libertarian Party at the time, I was county chairman. So what we did is we go, all right, we're going to go ahead and promote a day. And it was like, probably at least 3 weeks away. And we go, we're going to take your gun for a walk in the park day. In Cano Park, downtown, one of the oldest parks. And we go, oh, we're going to give it what for? So we took our printing press, you know, our old AB Dick 360. We still got that thing. It's on its third refurb. It's doing really nice now. Keeps getting better. 1950, so it was number 500 of that model. So, I mean, it's an old thing. We started printing up flyers saying we're going to the park, and we go to the gun ranges, and we go to the retail outlets, all the gun shops and so on, and we're just passing it out. We're sending out emails. I mean, we just started having email lists and stuff back then. It's becoming a big deal. People are calling in. Did you know they're going in Heaven's Murgatroyd? How dare they? Blah, blah, blah. And this is what prompts the Phoenix Police Confrontation Prevention Squad, again, you know, our buddies over there, Al Ramirez, come, you know, I've known these guys for a long time, 15 years, more. So they come up and they go, hey, Ernie, can't we all just get along? I mean, we don't want, I said, you guys had your chance. I know what the law says, and they're not obeying the law. You know, they just make it up as they go along and write whatever they want on the sign, and people are at risk. No, we're not going, you know, quietly and good night on this one. I mean, you don't get all upset about it. We're just going. You want to arrest us for an infraction of, I don't know, wherever you guys can make up, because it's not the gun law. So they're like, oh, dang it. So then it was a Saturday morning that we're going to do this. And it was Thursday night or Friday night. It might have been the debut. I think it might have been Thursday night. They have a meeting, and they come to our workshop at our headquarters at the time, and they want to have a meeting with us. And they bring a couple of guys from the Phoenix Police Department. They had an assistant attorney from the county attorney's office. We had one or two legislators. I remember her name was Jean McGrath. She was a conservative legislator back in the day. Reminds me of Karen Johnson from back in the day. She was the one that passed legislation. It got signed into law in the mid-90s that made the production of Freon in Arizona legal. Back when all the CFC stuff, hole in the ozone, all that kind of crap was going on. And she knew it was all crap, the hole in the ozone theory. She goes, you know what? Arizona, you want to make Freon? It's legal. Come make it in Arizona. Of course, nobody did because they know what, you know, happens. Federal government gets involved. But, you know, it was just one of those. You know, Arizona's been a pain in the butt for a long time. And that's when, you know, things like Janet Napolitano starts coming around running for governor and attorney general, that kind of stuff, because Arizona's been a thorn in their butt forever. And it's from, you know, a lot of people that are just thorns. So she was there in support of Second Amendment rights and such. And then we had another legislator, later became Speaker of the House, named Jeff Grosskos, that passed away recently from, you know, I can't remember what, it was natural causes. But he became Speaker of the House later, and he was infamous for always introducing no permit. Unrestricted concealed carry. Kept putting it in. Finally got a vote on it. Yeah, GOA was all excited. You got everybody on record. Of course, that doesn't mean anything. They make sure it's going to get down, and then everybody else can, you know, vote for it, even though they'd be against it and arguing against it and trying to do amendments against it. I'm just so sick of legislators. So he was there, and we have all these guys, and they're going, oh, please don't do this. Can't I go, it's done. You guys had your chance. Not like you didn't have enough warning. And they said, yeah, but we changed the sign. And I go, really? So I called my wife. She was on her way to come down there. And I said, stop by the park by our home and then let me know if they, you know, have taken that verbiage off. Sure enough, they had permanent white tape. That's kind of, I guess, like a bumper sticker, but it's more sticky, I guess. And they put it right over the ordinance. They didn't put it over the words. It says, no firearms allowed pursuant to the ordinance. Well, the ordinance didn't say that. So what they did is they just took and covered up the ordinance, like it didn't have an officialdom to it, but they still had the verbiage there. And I'm going, you know what? I think we still need to play. I'll tell you what happened when we come back. You always got, but always know the risk. Know you're right. That's the problem a lot of people make. They don't really know the law. We'll be right back.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Town here in Phoenix, Arizona, on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, from the studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. You know, you can look up safe gun owners.com, and that'll take you to our site where we just put a lot of gun stuff up there. And we just reconstituted Safe because when NRA did this bailing out on the First Amendment, you know, the Disclosure Act, to get special treatment for them to be able to market to people to support, oh, there's legislation and they're going to take away guns and they're going to give us money and we'll fight. And here in Arizona, they don't come around. NRA does not mess around with Arizona. And the reason is because we found out that they created a bunch of gun legislation so that they can get it through one committee, so that they can then raise money to be against it and do it. And they do play this game. It's a fundraising machine for the Republican Party. So they don't even play in Arizona anymore. I can tell you all kinds of stories about that. We should do that. I should do just an NRA show. 3 hours I could do easily on all the crap we've been dealing with. Yeah, you could put your gun rights in the hands, and man, you just should know better. You know, Guns of America is a lot better. Yeah, I tell you, who really rocks is JPFO, Jews for Preservation of Firearm Ownership. And we ain't getting back on the cattle car, know what I mean? I know the Jewish community is probably seen as more anti-gun. Well, not Aaron Zellman. He's like, nope, not getting on the cattle car. Would not be a good idea. Well, you know, we had this event, as we called it, Take Your Gun for a Walk in the Park Day. So we're going to go out on a Saturday, and we're just taking the family, and we're just going out there. And there was probably, I don't know, probably at least 50, 70 people there. And a lot of us are in our 20s and so on, 30s. We have our children, and it's just a regular picnic. It's just everybody's carrying a sidearm. And, of course, you got, you know, your one or two guys with a camo hat, and they got their AR kind of crap. You know, they just... I'd prefer not. But, yeah, what am I going to say? So we go there, and as we're having this planned, we have a meeting with the county attorney's office. I think it was a representative from the sheriff's department and a legislator and a Phoenix police department. And they're trying to convince us, well, the city was of Phoenix. They were trying to convince us not to do it. And I'm going, you know, you guys had your chance. You're lying. And we're going to demonstrate that you're lying. And if you think you're telling, fine, arrest us. Here we go. Well, you know, long story short, they were there, and here came all the media. I mean, you just know the television crews aren't going to pass this one up. So you have the law enforcement kind of around us. You know, they're away from us. They're kind of the periphery on the sidewalks and over by the pond and over by the little boat thing. And they're just kind of around us, you know. And they go, go get them. They got guns over there. What are you going to do about it? No, we're here to protect their right to have their firearms. Well, it's kind of the same deal, same people. You know, it's 15 years later, we do it when Obama came here. You know, the black man with the AR-15 thing, that was us. All right? So we go, all right. So, and we had dealt with these guys before, and that worked out. Just go CNN, Ernest Hancock, and you'll see the whole story, and I'll just spend all the time here. Maybe I'll play it. You know, today would be a good time to play that. You know, I'll play that interview. You'd enjoy that. Well, what happened was they told the press that they were there to protect our rights. You know, make sure everybody's all good. Well, I mean, it had to be at least 100 yards from us on another part of the park. It's a large park. I mean, it's probably that's big, you know, like half a mile squares. I mean, it's or even more than that. It's big. So they go to over 100 yards. There was a black family that was having a family reunion or a family picnic or something. There was probably at least, you know, as big a crowd as ours over there. And so there goes the press. They go over there, you know, and they go, did you know that there's a bunch of white people over there with guns? You know, militia types, you know, that kind of thing, right? Oh, heavens, Murgatroyd. Now, I don't know what a lot of them said or something, but they get a couple of guys going, well, I don't see why they would do that. That's, you know, what's the, you know, so they got some little verbiage for the television. Fine. Yes, I know. Yeah, but make sure you get the word libertarian in there, gun rights, and gosh darn it, and it's legal. I mean, that's all. They didn't arrest us because it's legal. You got that? You got that part. Got it? Okay, we're good. Next. That's what they didn't want people to know. They did not want people to know that it was legal in Arizona for you to have your firearm with you wherever you went, especially on state land, unless they had a place to check it and they took responsibility for it and then took responsibility for your safety. That's what they did not want people to know. So they get that out. Then we're at a rest stop between Phoenix and Tucson. There was another gentleman, a friend of ours. His wife was coming up from Tucson. It was late at night, 11, midnight. It was late at night, and she needed to go to the bathroom. So she pulls off in the rest area, and she's a law-abiding individual. You know, back when people actually, you know, had some semblance of respect for whatever law was, she looks at the sign that says, you must leave your firearms in your car. Well, it's midnight, you know, dark 30, right? You know, and there's kind of unsavory individuals around there, and she's just not feeling comfortable. Well, you know, if you go to the bathroom and you go into a stall, you know how these rest areas are. I mean, if you called 911, you know, if an F-16 was coming for you, it'd be 10 minutes, you know? You know, if they, you know, scrambled jets, much less, you know, you have an officer out in Lone Prairie in the desert, please. If you could even get cell coverage, and this is back in the mid-90s, if you even had a cell phone. You know, can I run out to the payphone? So you're in a stall, and you got your panties around your ankles. You are disrobed. You're sitting in a little stall, and a guy walks in and says, hello, you're mine, and he's right, and you're disarmed. What happened when we did this, I'll tell you this story, I'll finish up on the story. There was a woman, her name was Marianne Watkins, and she was a talk show host with the Clear Channel affiliate here in the Valley. When this was going on, she told her story. It became big deals in all the, you know, magazines and so on, and just really, you know, PO'd the law enforcement and so on, state politicos, because she says, you know, that happened to me. I went into a restroom, and she always kept her .38 with her in her purse, certainly when she'd go in there. Guy came in with a rope and a knife. Yeah, he goes, ooh, we're going to have us some fun. And she just pulled the gun out, leveled it at him, and he goes, you know, excuse the affiliates, I'm going to use this as a good one. He goes, bitches with guns. So that was the name of the article, bitches with guns. And I'm going, ooh, that's good. That's good. So that was a good story, and she didn't tell that. But what happened then was she went up to go to the bathroom. She's like, nah, I don't want to break the law. It says, you know, the sign, you can't bring your gun. And I sure as heck aren't going to go with these guys around and go get, you know, semi-naked in there, go to the bathroom. That's not going to happen. So she pulled out of the rest stop, went down, and she went to the bathroom on the side of the road in the highway there, found a bush, you know, or something, which, you know, she had to work for that one. And on the middle of the desert, goes to the bathroom, and she has a perfectly good rest stop to use. No. her husband, Frank, was like, I remember his name, Frank. And he goes, you know, he tells us about this. And I said, you know, that's not what the law says. The law does not say you can't bring your firearm in a rest stop. And I'm so sick of this stuff. Well, then it gets interesting. They started a letter campaign. They started calling legislators. They started talking to the governor. They started going through this right after Fife Symington had been replaced by the Secretary of State because he got indicted for, you know, blah, blah, blah. There's always somebody getting in trouble here in Arizona. So the Secretary of State that I'd run against, Jane Hull, I'd run against her for state legislator, ran against her for Secretary of State. She and I knew each other, and I go, Jane, telling you, man, you don't want to get on the wrong side of this one. You're not going to win this one. And, you know, just tell them to take that down from the signs and then, you know, it won't be a problem. You scrape it off. Ain't no big deal. Well, no, we can't, you know, we've got to research and I'm going, well, let me tell you what you're going to find. You're going to find that all the crime that's done on the highways are generally done at these rest stops. And you're going to find it's done by bad guys against disarmed citizens, against disarmed motorists, against disarmed young children and women. You know, unable to defend themselves. That's what you're going to find. Well, that's what they found. And they're like, dang, man, we can't get one. We can't get a poster child of how, you know, some kid accidentally took his dad's gun into the, you know, the stall and, you know, shot through and killed somebody in the next or something stupid like that. You know, no, every single one of the instances was disarmed victims. You know, there by bad guys with guns don't give a crap what the sign says. Because what does it do? It creates a safe work environment for bad guys. It's like OSHA for criminals. You know, it's, what was it, Occupational Safety and Health Administration? I mean, you know, it's like OSHA for criminals. Feel free to rampage through here because we made sure. It's like your neighbor's all anti-gun, you know. And, I mean, you see this joke a lot of times on the internet. They, you know, have a YouTube of somebody will go put a, you know, a sign in their front yard. Oh, I'm anti-gun. No guns here. Feel free to come on in and, you know, take my stuff. So what we did is we go, all right, here we go. Well, I tell you what prompted it, though. This was going on for probably at least 7-8 months. They just kept, you know, freedom of information requests, getting data on crime statistics. They're just really making their point, trying to use the legislative process. Well, finally, we got a letter from an attorney from the attorney general's office, or attorney for ADOT, which is Arizona Department of Transportation. So the Department of Transportation, we took this letter and we put it on the back of an 8.5 by 14 sheet of paper. On one side, we had, we're going to go to the rest stop. I think it was Sacaton.
There are those that just want to be left alone and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Truth. Yeah, let's just get some truth out there and see what happens. Yeah, they had the mute button. I didn't hear the rejoin music or the bumper music going out, so I think I know where I left off, and I'll go ahead and so you don't miss anything. This is what happened. We go take our gun for a rest at the rest stop thing. Made a big deal out of it. Here we go. Well, as we did that, there finally came a letter out from an attorney from the Department of Transportation, and we put it on the front. We said, we're going out and here and doing, and you know, it's an event. We always do it as individuals. You know, I am going to do this. Just announcement, I'm going, you know, and whatever. Because if you make it in an event, if you make it, you know, they always want to know who's the guy that's got the microphone. I have a permit for that microphone, that megaphone, that amplifier, that something. You know, but if you just, I'm going, well, who else is going? Who's going? Who's the group? I don't know. I'm just going, you know, and, you know, 300 or 400 of my closest friends might stop by. I mean, you know, what do you care? You know, it's a public place. Am I allowed to go? You know, that's one thing. You got to get a permit. Permit? I mean, no stinking permit. I'm just going to the rest stop. Well, there might be a, but yeah. I mean, you know, it's just amazing how their thought process is. We had to retrain them over years, decades. Like, we're not going to ask your permission to go to the rest stop, okay? It's just not going to happen. So then we had an attorney from the Department of Transportation came out, and on the backside of this flyer that we did, we printed his letter. And then all we did was add these two little red boxes on the margins on the left and right that highlighted this one sentence. And he goes, just like other private property owners, the Department of Transportation claims the private property right to, you know, do whatever we want. And we're just going, oh, everybody ought to see this just for the, that's how they think. And they don't see anything wrong with it. They go, of course, we own the property. It's ours. Peons, didn't you know? Didn't you get the memo? So we wanted to make a point. I said, look, they think they own it. It's theirs. They can do whatever they want. They can set whatever conditions on public property. Well, the law doesn't say that, but, you know, it says exact opposite. But that doesn't matter. That's just how they think. So it's a good educational point. So we get a lot of, you know, good points out of these kinds of things. Well, then one of the it was the. Oh, I think it was the Southwest commander, blah, blah, blah. He was a whippy up in the Department of Public Safety, which is our highway patrol underneath the governor. But he calls me, and right off the bat, I go, and I've known this guy before. I can't remember his name now, but I go, Lieutenant Commander or something. And I go, drew the short straw, did you? You get the call, Ernie? I go, you need to get, I said, you know we're not going to get a permit. And he goes, well, you need, I said, I'm just going. I don't know whoever's going. I'm just going. I don't know. So other people might be going. I don't know. But you know we're not going to get a permit. We're not going to ask permission. You know that, right? Well, you know, you did. I go, no, that's not going to happen. Arrest me. Whatever is going to happen because, you know, we can make this all friendly, but that's not going to happen. So I don't get all yelling and, you know, stuff. They know. They know I know. They know I know. They know. So, I mean, you know, come on. You know, seriously, we're going to play this game? So then we go. And what was interesting, and we started early in the morning. We got there like 6 or something. You know, all the television crews from Tucson and Phoenix. And we always do this kind of stuff the first weekend in January. And the reason is the second Monday in January is when the legislative session starts. So by then, they already have all the politicos mapped out by who's covering who and what and so on. And they're ready for political news. Yeah, here we go. You want to make sure you get coverage. You do it right before the legislative session opens on something about guns, especially. And here they come. So here's all the press. Do you think that blah, 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 blah? And hey, you know, and I give them the spiel. I said, look, if you're a young woman, you're coming here, and you got your panties around your ankles, and a guy comes in your stall and says, you're mine, he's right. What are you going to do about it? Who are you going to call? How are you going to do that? You know, so that, and you get that on the air and on the radio and that kind of stuff, you know, powerful argument. As the morning went on, the one guy is the more rural DPS guy that had the southeastern part of the state or whatever it was, and he was there. He was pretty friendly. He's cool. He didn't care. You know, and the other guy, man, he's more political. You know, he's in the governor's office. He's down, you know, at the state capitol. He didn't want to have nothing to do with nothing. I'm going, look, chill out, man. It's cold. Here, have some hot chocolate. You know, it's January, and still, you know, it's not freezing here, but it's, you know, it's good hot chocolate weather. So here, have some hot chocolate. Hey, have a hot dog. After all, it's a party. Okay, by the time it gets to lunchtime, it's all good. It's no thing. So that's good. We make our point. What happened was the next thing we were going to do is we're going to go up in April. May is the time that the snowbirds, the winter visitors that come down here and stay with their RVs and such, they start leaving and going back. And there's only going north. It's I-17. Okay, going north of Phoenix to Flagstaff. And it is an RV parade for weeks. Just, I mean, it's like the lemons, you know, going out of the valley, man. I mean, just boom, there they go. You know, or the ants or whatever you want to call it, it's a train. So we go, there is a rest stop right when you start to get up to a plateau. You got to let your RV cool off. You're going up through the mountains and you kind of get to a plateau and it's a nice, beautiful vista there. You can overlook a valley and so on. And a lot of people stop there. So at least that one and probably a lot of the others, we're going there and we're saying, yep. When they leave, we're going to start passing out all. Take your guns in the. Yes, leave. They're lying to you. This is not true. Yada yada yada. That was the plan. We're going to take the message, just like we do the DVDs to winter visitors here with all kinds of messages and so on. When they go back north, they're going to say, "Yeah, in Arizona, hey, this is what's up. This is what's going on. This is controversy. This is what's happening. This is the news." Well, they knew we were going to do it. Well, right after, within a couple of weeks, and before January was even over, and we had this, you know, do you want to play? Let's play. So what they did is all of a sudden the governor comes out, yep, take the sign down. It took them months and months and months and months. It was like 7, 8, 9 months. And then all of a sudden, boom, within a week, all those the verbiage on those signs came off. Because they had no stats. They had nothing to stand. Politically, it was not advantageous to them. So she had the Department of Transportation take all those signs down or remove the verbiage on there that you couldn't bring your firearm in. This is the kind of things that we've done for two decades to create an environment that is an educated populace that understands what is really at stake here, your ability to defend your life, because they're not. That's not their goal. The government, they're, regardless of what it says on the side of the, heck, doesn't even say protect and serve anymore. You know, to regardless of what promise or excuse that they're using for their existence, it's pretty obvious that's not what they're doing. So we emphasize that. We show it. We demonstrate it. And we get changes. The changes is not necessary. I mean, it's nice to get. I mean, you know, that's, but that's not the reason why we do it. Why we do it is to make sure that we are educated, that the populace is informed, that it shows them for what they are. Well, of course, they get this so much from us. We make a good impact like this on good issues, especially when they're in violation of the law. You know, they turn. They go, oh, heck no. We're, you know, they take those down. Oh, yeah, we love you long time now. And the governor went on one of the morning talk shows, and she gets on and says, oh, yeah, we did this, and I'm the greatest, most Second Amendment governor on the planet. And gave the impression that she's the one, but all the people that understood the issue and was covered, you know, was aware of it, knew that she was the one that was being a pain in the butt all that time anyway. But that's never how it's portrayed. When they do something, it's always because they're the good guys, not because they've been the obstacle all this time and had to be forced into doing it. So these are just some of the things that we've done over the years to create an environment that now, just a couple months ago, into effect now, you can carry a concealed weapon, firearm on your person here in Arizona without any need for any papers or permits or anything. Boom. Done. Third state in the union. Vermont, Alaska, Arizona. And you'll still get hassled in Vermont. But concealed carry, boom. These things don't happen just happen. It's by creating a culture. It's creating an environment. It's creating a way, a method by which these types of freedoms are seen to be in the government's best interest. Now, you would, of course, think that they would think, you know, a disarmed populace is in their best interest right up until it eats into the one thing they crave above all else, legitimacy. All the voting, all the campaigning, all the laws, all the media, all the problems, all the manufactured crises, all the emergencies, all everything is all centered around increasing the legitimacy or the need or the brainwashing for we got to have of government. And if you can eat at that and you're effective on the primal base things of what the government is there to do, life, liberty, property, or sure as heck at least allow you to protect your own. That's why this immigration thing is such a big deal on the border for us. We focused on the ranch owners, the border agents, federal government. You could defend your property on the three sides that was facing towards America, but not the border with Mexico. What? Anybody else, you can shoot them dead. You know, they're coming in over the Mexico fence. Heck no, they can lay waste to whatever. What the heck was going on? So this is why we bring these kinds of things up, is for the cultural change. This is what we're trying to accomplish, is an understanding of the proper role, the only justification for the existence of government, the defense of your individual rights. Life, liberty, property. Or at least allow you to do it. Not getting in the way. Say you can't. You know, young, beautiful women going to the bathroom in the lone prairie of a rest stop out in the middle of the nothing. You know, I mean, seriously? You guys want to play? Let's play. Well, they got tired of playing, and finally they just said, we're doing away with all the gun laws in Arizona. We're it's not working for us. Well, what else do we pick on now? Oh, we got a bunch to talk about in the third hour on just along those lines on another issue. When we come back, we'll have Noel on. We'll be right back.